Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. Now, as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so happy again because we are continuing our study in the Book of Psalms. And we know that this book exposes us to the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms that are in our Bible canon. He only wrote 73 of the 150, and 12 were written by Asaph, 2 were written by Solomon, or at least ascribed to Solomon, 1 was written by Moses, 1 was written by Ethan, and 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I like to consider a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment, or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally, as I always do, take this time to thank those of you who are out there that have taken the time to give me feedback on this show. The comments and the advices that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. As the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King David, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. This is taken from Psalms 145, verse 19. Now, the promise is God will save you if you fear him. God said again, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. So the promise is if you want God to walk among you, he will, and you will be part of his clan if you keep his statutes and commandments. This is taken from Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3, and then verse 12. And God said again through King Solomon, Who is a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A wise man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and his boldness of his face shall be changed. The promise that your face will shine and you will be bold and emboldened in the word of God if you will work the works of God. So the question again this hour is, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, remind you that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. My brothers and sisters, the reason I repeat this is because I think this is the most critical of all of what we do, is study and learn. Okay, now let's get to the study. We're in Psalms. I have written, there are 150 chapters in the book of Psalms, and I've written 232 instructions for them. We are on instruction number 55, and we're on Psalms 37. Turn with me, if you will, to your sources, to Psalms 37, and we're going to read verse 1 through 8. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read to you the verses. King David said, "Fret not thyself." Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Fret not thyself. And this is what King David told Israel about that in Psalms 37, verse 1 through 8. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." So don't be upset with what wickedness is doing around you. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. But listen, my brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So trust in God, number one. "Then delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." That is number two. Delight yourself also in him. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Commit yourself, my brothers and sisters. Number four. Number five is rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass." Again, we must rest in the Lord, be still and be quiet and know who is God. Now what we're going to do before I continue is we're going to take a break.
Everybody could become an expert at anything at a drop of a hat. Would there be any rewards for it? And I think you have the answer even as I ask the question. Got a couple of good buddies. They used to live down in South Alabama. Their names were Bernard Haygood and Jimmy Glenn. One day they're out riding through the South Alabama foothills and they got a little thirsty. Well, Bernard was the driver. He's also the athletic one. So he hopped out of the car. He ran around to this old abandoned pump there in the back of this old farmhouse. And he grabbed the handle of the pump and he started to pump. Now, let me say that when old Bernard grabbed that handle and started to pump, you know, since it was August and brutally hot that day, he was anxious to get some water out. So he really got after it. He was just a pumping away. And after a couple of minutes, he said, "Jimmy, you better get that old bucket over there and dip some water out of the creek." He said, "We're going to have to prime this pump." All that really means is that you got to put something in here before you can expect to get anything out here. The pump is really saying in another way what we've said so many times, and that is that you gotta be and do before you can have. Too many people stand in front of the stove of life, and they say, "Stove, now, you give me some heat." and then I'll put some wood in you. So many times the employee goes to the employer and says, now give me a raise. And when you give me the raise, I'll start coming to work on time. I'll start doing the things you really want me to do. What they're saying is, reward me now, and then later I'll perform. That's not the way it works. First, you've got to put something in before you can expect to get anything out. Well, old Bernard wanted to drink water. But the question is, just how much pumping are you willing to do in order to get that drink of water? And after a few minutes, he said, Jimmy, I just don't believe there's any water down there. And Jimmy said, yes, it is, Bernard. You know, in South Alabama, the wells are deep. We're glad they are, aren't we? Because, you see, the deeper the well, the cleaner, the sweeter, the purer, the better tasting the water is. And isn't that another lesson the pump can teach us? Isn't it true that those things which have value, I mean real value, are those things which we have to work for over a period of time? Yes, it's absolutely true. That those things which have value, which have real value, are those things which we make that honest effort to acquire. We work at it, and we do a little sweating in the process, and by now, old Bernard is really beginning to sweat. I mean, it's August. It's hot, and finally, he just threw up his hand. He said, Jimmy, there just ain't no water down there. Jimmy said, don't stop, Bernard. Don't stop. If you stop, that water's going to go all the way back down, and then you're going to have to start all over. And isn't that the story of life? Isn't it true that so many people lose out on a lot of effort they've expended in the past because they don't do just a little bit more?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the lesson. We're on instruction number 55, which King Solomon said, fret not thyself. And we read what Psalms 37, verse 1 through 8 said about it. Now what we want to do, we want to go to our New Testament complement, and we want to see what it says about it. And this is what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. And this is how Jesus tells us to respond today to things that we should not be upset with. Jesus says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? That means don't fret. Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't be upset, for these are all the things that the Gentiles seek. Those are the wicked. Those are those who are evil. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. This is the key, my brothers and sisters, what we are supposed to do today. Instead of fret, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Listen, my brothers and sisters, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. So Jesus is telling us today we should not fret. We should seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should rely on God for our needs and directions and not let what others are doing and saying cause us to deviate from our dependence on God. We must be focused. Isaiah said, thou shalt be kept in perfect peace, whose eyes are stayed on thee, because you trust in thee and believe in thee. That is the key, my brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go back now to Psalms 37 still, and we're going to get another instruction from Psalms 37. This is going to be verses 9 through 11, 21 through 22, and 29 through 31. And this is the reason that I'm giving you all of this instruction is, or this text, is because the instruction is to inherit the earth. You want to inherit the earth, and not this physical earth, but the spiritual earth that is going to be the new earth that God is providing, or Jesus is providing to those who are faithful. This is what David told Israel about inheriting the earth. And he was pointing to this spiritual body that's going to come in at the end of time. Psalms 37, verse 9 through 11. This is what it says. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Those that wait upon the earth, upon the Lord, that's key. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. There is another group, not only those who wait upon the Lord, but also the meek. And listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what David said, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So they will be receiving peace as a reward for being meek. Now, verse 21 through 22 adds more, or I should say, yes, verse 21 through 22 adds more. This is what it says. The wicked borroweth and pay not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So again, this is giving us more information, and it's telling us that the merciful also. So you have those that are waiting on the Lord, those who are meek, and those who are merciful. They shall inherit the earth. Now listen, there's more. Verse 29 through 31 says, gives us more. It says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his steps, or the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. So there is a fourth one, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about those who are righteous. They shall also inherit the earth, and their steps, because of their righteousness, they shall not slide. And 4:34 is the last, completing the thought. This is what verse 34 says. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. So those are the ways that we inherit, or those are the ways that David taught Israel to inherit the earth. Now, what we're going to do now is go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Jesus added to this or expanded this in Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me, if you will, quickly to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verse 1, 2, 3, 5, and 10. And this is all about inheritance. This is what verse 1 says. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, listen, my brothers and sisters, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So being poor in spirit is added to what David said. Verse 3 says, blessed are they that, verse 3 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's reiterating what David told Israel. And verse 10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there's an expansion into those who inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That following all of basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, will get you to heaven. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? By following all of B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, will get you to heaven. Okay. Let's go now to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 37, and we're going to take another instruction from Psalms 37, and we're going to look at verse 12 through 15 and a few other verses, and this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. This is the instruction, the wicked against you. This is what King David is telling Israel how you can tell or what the wicked does against those who are righteous. And that's going to be taken from verse 12 through 15 in Psalms 37. And we are going to come back to it after the break.
When you are tired, you must be very careful that you do not become dehydrated. You have got to drink this water. You have got to drink this word. You have got to drink this worship. You have got to move away from wells that will never quench your thirst. And you have got to receive the water that flows from within. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the reason that you came to church today is God wanted to give you water. He knows you're tired. He knows you're thirsty. He hung on a cross and said, I thirst too. He stretched his arms this wide because he was tired of it too. And the man who was God became man, and he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And he said to the woman, and he said to me, and he said to you, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am the light. I am the shepherd. I am the gate. I am the way. I am the vine. I am the seventh man. I am the seventh man. I am the well. I am within you. You will never get what you need from out there. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. I know you're not in a church building. There's no worship leader to tell you lift your hands. Will you do it anyway? I know there's not a feeling telling you right now to have hope. Can you hope anyway? It is a well that springs up from within. It is a well that men did not dig. It is a well that does not consult external situations. It is the well of the Holy Spirit. And God said, I came all this way to sit with you, to be with you. The proof of his power was not just when he walked on water. The proof of his power was when he sat on a well. Did you hear me better online than they heard me in this room? Because if you got that, you got the whole message. He didn't just prove it by walking on water, which he did. He proved it by sitting on a well. Sometimes he walks on water. Sometimes he is water. But I declare.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, this is what we're going to look at. We're going to see what David taught Israel in this Psalms 37, verse 12 through 15, about the wicked. This is what it says. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Then we're going to go to 32 for more information about this. Verse 32 says, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. And verse 33, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. So this is telling us what the wicked will do against us. But we, at the end of what David says, that the Lord will not leave us in his hand. So that is what is significant for you to understand. That's what David is saying. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Jesus puts it in John chapter 16, verse 32 and 33. This is what Jesus says in reference that connects the dot. John chapter 16, verse 32 and 33. Jesus said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, and that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that is what Jesus is saying. The wicked may be against you, but be of good cheer. Focus on Jesus, and the Father will be with you. Now this is what it means to us spiritually in our lives, what it should mean, that from the cradle to the grave, from life to death, we will be plagued by the wicked. But those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That is the key, my brothers and sisters. That is what you should understand from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms 37 again. We're going to get one more, I guess, instruction out of Psalms 37. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 19, verses 23 through 25, and verses 37 through 40. Now, I'm going to read them to you, and as I read the text, I want you to focus on this particular instruction. This is instruction number 58. A righteous man shall prevail. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? A righteous man shall prevail. And this is what David told Israel about a righteous man prevailing. Verse 16 through 19 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the righteous, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. We should take that to heart today, my brothers and sisters. This should be an extension of what we apply ourselves in our daily walk today. We should be righteous, knowing that what David said is still applicable today. He said in verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Because the Lord knoweth the days of the righteous, and their inheritance shall be forever. Now verse 23 through 25 gives more on that, saying, the steps of a good man, meaning righteous, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his hand. I have been young, David said, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That is what we should be responding to, righteousness. Excuse me. And the righteousness of God is his son, Jesus Christ. And the righteous way of Jesus Christ, he speaks of in the Gospels. That's what we should be responding to. And to complete the thought, we're going to go to verse 37 through 40, and this is how David concludes being righteous. Mark the perfect and upright man. Behold, for the end of that man is peace. That's what righteousness is going to give you, my brothers and sisters, peace. And this is what the rest of it says. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trusted him. My brothers and sisters, we don't even need to go to the New Testament complement to compare and agree. We could just stay with what was just read and be righteous and be saved. Now, this is what the New Testament complement says about it, though. Let us go to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 41. Through 43, and we're going to see what Jesus added to this or expanded upon this by being righteous. This is what Jesus says. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall they be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But listen, my brothers, about the righteous and my sisters. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the Son in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath an ear to hear? Let him hear. That is what is going to happen with the righteous. They will be sent forth shining before the Father. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that your believing in God and keeping his commandments will get you into heaven. That is what makes you righteous, believing in God and keeping his commandments. That's what God told Abraham in the Old Testament, that because he believes in him, that was assigned to him as righteousness. And Moses also taught Israel in Deuteronomy, rehearsed it for them, that their righteousness is to keep the commandments of God. So, my brothers and sisters, if you believe in God and keep his commandments, that to you is your righteousness, and your promise is salvation. Okay, let's go back to the book of Psalms, the next instruction. We're on instruction number 59, and we're now going to go to Psalms 38 for our instruction. And we're going to look at Psalms 38, verse 1 through 11. And the reason I'm going to extend this reading is because it will all be inclusive to what the instruction is identifying. This is the instruction. This is what sin does to you. That's why I'm going to read Psalms 38, verse 1 through 11, because this is going to give us the details of what David told Israel, what sin does to us. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is Psalms 38, verse 1 through 11. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thy arrows stick fast in me, and they have pressed me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sins. What David is telling us, that even he, we're all part of the sin trap. Now, this is what verse 4 says. For my iniquities, my sins, are gone over my head as a heavy burden that are too heavy for me to bear. That's one reason Jesus came, to eliminate that from our life. But, of course, we have our works, which get us in trouble. But anyway, this is what verse 5 says. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. And now I see that we have hit a commercial break, and let us go to the break, and I'll continue after the break.
How could a man hit a target he could not see? That's a pretty good question. Here's another one. How can you hit a target you do not have? Have you got one? Are you a meaningful specific, or are you a wandering generality? People today complain of lack of time. It's not lack of time that's the problem, it's the lack of direction. Are you a wandering generality, or are you a meaningful specific? Are you going to work tomorrow because that's what you did yesterday? If that's the reason you're going tomorrow, you won't be as good tomorrow as you were yesterday, because you're 2 days older and no closer to the goal you do not have. Now, I got sense enough to know that some of those airplanes are coming down faster than they're going up. It's dangerous for that plane to fly. You see in the newspapers where the ships leave the harbor, and you see where some of them sink. It's dangerous for the ships to be on the ocean. And yet the engineers tell me that it's more dangerous for that plane to stay on the ground. That it will rust out faster than it will wear out up into the heavens. They tell me that that ship will collect more barnacles in the harbor and become unseaworthy faster than it will sailing the high seas. Besides, planes are built for flying. Ships are built for sailing. Houses are built for living. And man, too, was built for purpose. He was designed for accomplishment. He's engineered for success. He's endowed with the seeds of greatness. And the greatest danger we as human beings have is when we do not do anything at all. And I make this statement 40 times in my...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 59. What sin does to us, and this is what the psalm continues to tell us about it. I'm on Psalms 38, verse 1 through 11, and verse 6 says, I am troubled, and I bow down greatly. I go mourning all day long. This is what sin does to us, my brothers and sisters. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of my eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. It's telling you all of the anxiety and stress and problems that are caused because of your sins. Now, this is what the New Testament complement has to say about it. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. And this is what Paul taught the Romans concerning this. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. And this is what Paul says. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto everlasting holiness and life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what Paul is telling us, that even though sin has corrupted our lives, even though sin will kill us physically, Jesus Christ has come to save us spiritually. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that sin against God ends up with not only physical death, but also spiritual death. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? So sin, the wages of sin is death, both physically and spiritually. But Jesus has come to eradicate the death of the spirit, that we may have eternal life. That's what I want you to understand. And so now we're going to go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction of Psalms 38, and we're going to take another instruction from Psalms 38. Verse 12 through 22. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The Job effect. Now, I hope that you're familiar with the story of Job, but this is the Job effect. And as I read Psalms 38, verse 12 through 22, it's going to show where David was influenced by the book of Job. And this is what he said to the Israelites, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me. Remember, Job had three buddies that they were complaining or telling him why he was suffering from the ailments that was put on him. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceit all of the day long. They constantly jarred at Job to make him feel as if he were a sinner. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. And I was dumb as a deaf man that opened not his mouth. And he would not relent on not believing that the Lord God Almighty was his Redeemer. That's what Job did. Now, verse 14 says, thus I was a man that heard not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear. I, O Lord, my God. So again, Job said even to his wife, when she told him to curse God and die, he said that she was foolish in what she said, and he would not do that. He would not hear it. Verse 16 says, "For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." He relented to God in the book that he did sin against God, and so God forgave him. But he did not identify or relent to the three friends that were shooting sarcasm at him. Verse 19 says, "But my enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are my adversaries, because I follow the things that are good. Forsake me not, O Lord, O God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." And we know at the end of the book of Job, what happened was Job received a benefit from God because of what he had experienced. And he even had to pray for his three friends that God would forgive them of what they tried to do for him. So that's the Job effect. That's what David is talking about in Psalms 38, verse 12 through 22. Now let's go to Mark chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, and we're going to get the Job effect identified in the book of Mark, and it's going to tell us in this instance, Mark chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, and this was what Mark says. "And straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and brought Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled." Jesus knew what he was supposed to do. And the Job effect was the same, because Job did not, even though he answered his friends, he did not relent in believing that God was his Savior. And this is what Jesus did. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the examples that are in Scripture are given to us to assist us in times of trouble, to show us the way out back to God. That's what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that you must search the Scriptures, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. It will give you the way back to God, regardless of who is criticizing you. Now let's turn back to our instructions. We're going to go back to Psalms 39 this time. We're going to look at Psalms 39, verse 4 through 6. And this is what I want you to take or keep in mind as I read the text to you. Vanity is identified. This is where David identifies to Israel what vanity is. It is Psalms 39, verse 4 through 6. And this is what it says. "Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made me my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heaped up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." And that is what Solomon said, or David said to Israel, telling them about vanity. And now we're at another commercial break, so let's take the break, and after the break, we'll continue.
Let me speak to that person that feels like they lost their worth and their value. This is a dollar bill. Now, if I go to the store and there's something for 90 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So, if I go to the store and there's something for 85 cents, and after tax, it ends up being 96 cents, can I buy it with this dollar bill? Okay, all right. So what if I ball the dollar bill up? Think about it now. Like, I just balled the dollar bill up. Like, so we can't be worth a dollar now. It's probably worth like 95 cents, right? How much you think it's worth? A dollar. Listen, y'all gotta pay attention. I just balled it up. So clearly it's not worth a dollar anymore. All right, so maybe, what if I step on it? What if I stomp it? I just stomped it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 65 cents, 68 cents? It's still worth a dollar? Okay, what if I ball it up? What if I stomp on it? And then I put it in the trash can. And it's in here with some trash. And it's around some beer and some gum and a bunch of other nasty stuff. And some guy off the street pulls the dollar out, unfolds it. How much is it worth now? Maybe 82 cents? And at least 92 cents? It's okay, alright, so what if I ball it up? What if I step on it? What if I put it in trash? And then, watch this, I tear it in half. Think about it now, right? How much is it worth now? A dollar? I could tape it? Whoa. Wait.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. We're on instruction number 61, and it is vanity is identified. And this is what David is doing, telling the Israelites in Psalms 39, verse 4 through 6 and verse 11. And we left off with verse 11, and it says, when thou with rebuke do correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. And we know that vanity is conceit. We know that vanity is worthlessness or worthlessness. It is things done futilely. And we know that everything that is done physically is not going to be received into heaven, meaning that you can't take it with you when you go. So you know that the vanity that this is referring to is the worldliness that encompasses our life today, this side of eternity. And what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 2, verse 20. James chapter 2, verse 20. And this is how James identified it and tells us today. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What is so significant here is that the vanity is when we think that faith, which tells us to do something, is an action that we must complete in order to receive recognition from God. O vain man, faith without works is dead. Won't you believe that? Because of your vanity, your pride, or your conceit, or your self-love, or whatever it is that causes you to hold on to worldliness, that is going to get you in trouble. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that worldliness is vanity. And like it, King Solomon said, it is vexation of the spirit, it is a sore travail, and it is an evil disease. We know that Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And what would a man profit of all of his labor up under the sun? All of that worldliness is vanity. And that's what I want you to take from this, my brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 40 this time. We're going to look at Psalms 40, verse 4. Only one verse. And this is what the instruction is, almost identical to the verse. Blessed that man that maketh the Lord his trust. This is what verse 4 of Psalms 40 says. This is what it says. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. That's the blessing, that you trust in God and you don't respect. Remember, we read earlier that fret not thyself over evildoers. That was in Psalms 37. And you, of course, you know, you don't turn aside to lies, because lies will not give you the blessings of God. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how the Hebrew writer talks about the same. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And this is what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that is the blessing, my brothers and sisters, for keeping the faith, for trusting in God, the Lord, his trust, making the Lord his trust, as David says, that blessing, that is faith. And the reward that is given to those that diligently seek him is going to be salvation. It's going to be heaven. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that believing in God will eventuate in your salvation. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? That believing in God will eventuate in our salvation. Okay, now let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms 41. And this time we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 in Psalms 41. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. It is, blessed is he that considereth the poor. My brothers and sisters, this is a substantial action that gives you a blessing, favor, good fortune with God. Blessed is he that considers the poor. And this is what David taught Israel about it. Blessed is that he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the times of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? By paying attention to the poor, and that's not just physical poor. That means not just giving money. That means giving time, giving effort. That's included. And verse 2 continues to say, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. So if you are diligent in taking care of those who are less fortunate than you, God's blessing is you won't be delivered over. He's not talking about those rich individuals that give their money to different organizations as a way of avoiding taxes. We're not talking about that. We're talking about giving to them that need, regardless of what you have. You can give your time and your effort. That also takes into account and is recognized by God. Verse 3 says, the Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing. That means that even though you're struggling, you will still be undergirded by God. You know that the Holy Ghost today gives us the fruit of long-suffering. That gives you endurance and forbearance. That gives you perseverance, gives you stick-to-itiveness. All of these attributes you will be given on your bed of languishing. You will be strengthened because of how you provide and respond to the poor. And verse 4 says, and the completion of verse 3 says, and thou will make all his bed in his sickness. That is, I think, something worth responding to, that even when you are ill, because of what you are doing for God, he will sustain you and hopefully make you well again. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to see how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 40. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 40. Now, this is Jesus adding to or substantiating what David said back in Psalms 41, verse 1 through 3, how the blessing is for he that considers the poor. This is what Jesus says. Verse 34 through 40, and it's Matthew chapter 25. Then said the king, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. These are they that bless the poor. Now listen to the rest. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. That is the physical application, but again, it expands beyond just money, and you can see that those who are serving those who are poor, those who are helping those who are poor, those are seeing to those who are poor. This is what Jesus, this is included in this application. Now, this is what verse 37 says. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Listen, my brothers and sisters. Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And this is the answer that the king gave. Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So to get the blessing, it matters that you share and you respond to the poor and needy, more especially of those of the household of the faith. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that performing what the Bible instructs will render good results for you this side of eternity. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Take in what all the Bible says and apply it. And in this instance, focusing on those who are less fortunate than you. And I will add that those who do not know Jesus Christ are poor. And that is one reason why we should establish that, making them aware of it. Now, this is the completion of the lesson this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.